Amen, guys. You can have a seat. Thanks for joining us this morning. You guys excited to be here? Yeah, man. Just me. Okay, that's fine. That's good. It's cool. It's all right. I love you guys, man. Love, sweet love. That's what we're talking about today. I'm so excited to bring this message to you all. Again, Justin kicked us off last week, kind of gave us a precursor to this series, and so I'm excited about it. We're going to get some crowd interaction today, so hopefully you've done your cardio because you're going to need it. I'm kidding, but no, we're going to get you involved and take a look at God's Word together. You know, when I was preparing for this, and I was just thinking of just love all together, and I'd be interested to know how many songs, for example, have the word love in it, right? I mean, it's such a big, sappy, topic for so much of our music and our media to focus on. But, you know, there's different layers and levels of love, wouldn't you say? So, for example, you know, obviously I love God with all my heart. I love my wife who loves our dog in a weird way, but, you know, that's fine. Love my daughter who loves pumpkin spice in a way that I could never embrace. I don't know. I don't get that. But, you know, we have love for our spouse, for our family, for our children, for our friends, right? For our pets, I suppose, you know, but as long as it's not a cat. But, you know, we have lots of different ways that we love, right? And I kind of think of it as our circle of love. And I'll try not to sing the Lion King, melody along with that. You know, it's the circle of love instead of circle of life. But, you know, we have those who are closest to us, right? But when we get outside of that circle, we're kind of like the great theologian Tina Turner. And like, what's love got to do with it? Right? You want to sing it, don't you? Right? But when we get outside of those who are easy for us to love, it kind of gets uncomfortable. And I want to talk about that today. I want to get into God's Word and talk about, what does it mean for us to love beyond the comfortable? That's really the heart of this. And so if you want to go there with me, let's get into the Word of God together, shall we? And then, like I said, I do have this activity that I want us to do together a little bit later, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, something I've done already with my team at work. So let's take a look at the Word. If you've got it on your phone like I do or your Bible, let's jump into the Word. And so before we get into, we're going to talk about love your enemies, right, in Matthew. And so what I want to do is just read just a couple verses to get us started and then go back and kind of share a little bit about the background to this. So we're in Matthew 5, 43, verse 43 is where we're going to start. It says here, "You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So this is the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure you've heard of the Sermon on the Mount. And so this is really early in Jesus' ministry. It actually comes in the Word right after Jesus comes out of the wilderness and he's tempted. And so this is really one of the first opportunities that we're hearing from Jesus chronologically. Not the first, but one of the first. And so if you haven't read it in a while, it's a really good sermon to listen to from Matthew 5, 6, and into 7. Some amazing content in there. And so, you know, in this, what I found really interesting in this is on that verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it is said." And doing some research, Jesus was using this comparison, this contrasting several times right before this. And so if you want to scroll up or turn back a little bit earlier in chapter 5, you can see that Jesus is using the same method of, "You've heard this, but this is what I say." And so it makes a lot of sense that Jesus is starting there because the law was such a paramount thing to the early Christians, right? I'm going to follow the letter of the law. This is how I understand it. And outside of that, you know, it's not right. And there was a lot of rigidity to that we read within a lot of the Gospels. And so Jesus wants to address that right of way. And so he goes through six of these. So earlier in verse 21, he talks about murder. He said, "You've heard, you shall not murder, but I say, don't even be angry or don't hold contempt with anyone. Further down in verse 27, he's talking about adultery. You know, you've heard to not commit adultery, but I say don't even look lustfully upon a woman. And then he goes into divorce. You've heard that if you want to have a divorce, give your wife a certificate of divorce. But he says, but except for sexual immorality, you make her a victim of adultery. He continues in verse 33. He's talking about oaths, right? Do not even break an oath, he says. Don't even swear an oath at all, right? Don't even go there. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, he says. Further in verse 38, he's talking about vengeance, right? You know, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says, do not resist, you know, an evil person. You know, if they slap you in the cheek, turn the other. If they sue you to take whatever, you know, give them more. Give them the shirt off your back, right? And then he comes to where I read and started with in verse 43. You've heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So you see that rhythm that he's using. Said, you've heard this. This is what's been passed on from generation to generation. Let me show you what I say. And this is Jesus, of course, is talking. And what I found is interesting, I wanted to find out, like, well, where did he get this? Love your enemy and hate your neighbor. And so this actually points back way early in Leviticus 19:18. And it says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Did I just say anything in there about hate your enemy? No, because the early church, where they were sticking so much to the law, anything outside of that, in this case, they felt justified to hate anybody else. Like, all right, I get it. Love my neighbor, people who are around me. Outside of that, you know, I can hate you because you're not one of us. You're not one of our people. You're from a different clan or whatever. So I thought that was really interesting that they had that mindset of just those who are closest to me, right? That's where my love is going to be. And so you may be thinking already, like, all right, I got this. It's pretty simple. I don't hate anybody. You know, I don't have a list of people I hate. And so, you know, I think it goes way more beyond that, and so did Jesus. And he talks a little bit more. He continues to kind of give an explanation to what his expectation is, right? And so, you know, for me, I think I've always been in that, you know, in that space of I don't think I'm a hateful person. I don't think there's people that I hate, but there are certainly people I don't dig, you know, people who I may avoid, you know, or somebody that I have like a disdain for or whatever, but hate is kind of a strong word. So Jesus knew that, you know, we would still try to find a way, right, to kind of bend it a little bit. And so let's continue in Matthew 5 in verse 46. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Love that he says that here. Just a couple weeks ago, Justin talked about Zacchaeus, right, the tax collector, and how everybody just hated him. And, you know, it's interesting about that story. Jesus could have, if you remember that, when Zacchaeus crawled up in that tree, right, and he wanted to see Jesus, Jesus saw him. You know, he could have made the same impact on Zacchaeus' life by calling him out, you know, privately, going to his house, and Zacchaeus would have no doubtedly had the same kind of reaction and change of heart. But Jesus doing, you know, seeing him and selecting him and calling him out and saying, I'm going to go to your house in front of everyone, you know, that tells a bigger story, doesn't it? I always imagine, like, as Jesus is walking into Zacchaeus' house and everybody's standing around just staring, like, what? You know, he just turns around and smiles, you know, and goes in, you know, because that's our Jesus, right? But he says, he kind of gets in our face, at least I feel like this when I read this, like, if you love those who only love you, what reward will you get? So the expectation there is love can be uncomfortable, right? You know, loving just those who love you back, even the tax collectors do that. And he continues, if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So this kind of gets in that uncomfortable space a little bit, right? So, you know, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's not what I'm saying. Love your enemies, right? And take it even further than that, right? Don't just keep your love to those who reciprocate it back to you. Be willing to be uncomfortable. And Jesus, I mean, he he modeled that for us in his ministry, didn't he? You know, even where his, you know, obviously the religious leaders and even his own disciples were like, what are you doing? Like this woman at the well, for example, right? Disciples were questioning Jesus, like, what are you doing talking with her? And such a beautiful story of how Jesus showed her love, right? And kind of earned that right to talk to her and speak that truth into her. And so if you're honest with yourself, I think this is kind of where it gets into where I think there could be some opportunities for us to kind of grow a little bit, right? Where we may say, well, I don't really hate people, but yeah, I definitely avoid certain people. You know, think about that specifically. Are there individuals that have already maybe come to mind that you're like, I just, you know, we used to be friends, but they hurt me. Or this type of person I can't stand, right? I think a lot of times we miss part of this challenge where we're thinking of individuals, but a lot of times it's groups of people that we just want to avoid. You know, and just out of transparency, and, you know, early in my Christian walk, you know, I'm sad to say that I had that attitude towards homosexuality and anybody who was either embracing it or struggling with it or whatever. I had such a terrible attitude. And even, you're going to laugh at this, even before that, I had a real attitude with people with tattoos. Seriously, I had such a judgmental, like, you must be fallen and whatever. So God's changed my heart in both, you know, you know, he's brought people in my life to show me that how he loves everybody. And if we want to be like Christ, if we want to say we're followers of Christ, if we want to be Christians, little Christs is what that means, we've got to love like Christ, right? We've got to love like him. There should not be anyone that we can be thinking of that we hate or people that we want to avoid or have nothing to do with or, you know, would rather just never, even if God puts it on our heart to talk to them and to be in relationship with them or get to know them, that we'd say like, nah, I've got a line here, God. I don't associate because Jesus didn't do that, right? So I want to do a little activity together. And I've done this before, like I mentioned, with my team, and it was such a powerful experience, and it fits here, and I wanted to share that with you. So what I'd like you to do is, besides your family, think about the people that you love the most, besides your family. So think about who those people are in your mind, right? Maybe you have just a few, maybe you can think of several, but think of the people that you love the most that are not family, okay? Hopefully they've come to mind. Shouldn't be hard if you love them. Like, I don't know. All right, so how many of you have less than five people that you thought of? Okay, less than five. A lot of big groups. Okay, that's all right. How about less than two, like two or less? Okay, good. All right, so we've got some names in mind. That's good. All right, so now what I want to do is ask you a series of questions about these people, right? So, first of all, if any of these people are, let's say, 15 years difference in age from you, any of them, raise your hand. 15 years younger or older. Okay, that's good. How many of the if these people that you're thinking of are a different race or ethnicity than you, raise your hand. Okay, less hands. Interesting. Okay, how about how many of these people, or if you have people in this group that are a different religion or faith, or maybe they're not a Christian at all, any of them? Okay. Ah, that's awesome. How many of these people are socioeconomically kind of different from you, right? You may be a blue collar, they're a white collar, or vice versa. They're just in a they have a totally different kind of life that they've built around them than you. Okay. All right. And so, what about, are any of them handicapped? Raise your hand. Okay. Any of them a different sexual orientation than you? Raise your hand. Okay. Interesting. Same kind of results I saw when we did this group. And so, what I've seen here is, depending on what the question is, the number of hands raised are a little bit different, right? And, you know, as far as who we choose to love and who we choose to trust, it's very easy for us, some more than others, to really be drawn to people who are more like us, right? You know, same age, same situation, whatever. And some of that may be because that's who you work with, and so you build relationships there. People who come to church, maybe your actual neighbors. And so, you know, sometimes we have those interesting opportunities, but some of those questions that I asked, there are very few hands that were raised, right? Some of those questions maybe surprised you that I asked, maybe. And so I remember when I was young, we had the singing group, this choir in our church, little kids, and they took us to a nursing home, first time I've ever been in a nursing home. And I got to tell you, it freaked me out because I don't know why it did. I mean, I love my grandparents, love them and all that, but just to be around people who are so different from me, it was a shock to me. It wasn't scary, but I remember as a child just being so surprised to see people who were very old, even compared to my grandparents, some of them handicapped and all that. And I remember just really being uncomfortable and avoiding that. And fast forward many years when I was in high school, we were on a missions trip, and part of that was to go to a nursing home. And I remember feeling like, I just don't want to, can I go to the, because we split our group, can I go to the group that's fixing the roof for the poor person instead of the, you know, to the nursing home? I just don't want to. And I remember thinking, like, why? Like, what's my problem? You know, and I knew it would be uncomfortable for me, but tell you what, it was a blessing. It was such a blessing to get over myself, to be obedient, and to spend some time playing cards with some sweet people and having some awesome conversations with them. You know, and I think if we will challenge ourselves, depending on where those hands raised or not, to be more and more open to say, you know what, seriously, deep in my heart, there's no line. There's no line. If God puts somebody in my life or I have an opportunity to meet somebody and start to build a relationship with them, show some kindness, show some love, invite them to church, whatever, that you're willing to do that. That there is no list of people that you just wouldn't go there. That's too far, right? So let's continue here in the Word, and I want to kind of segue into a challenge. And so love your enemies. We talked about that. Do I really hate them? Maybe not, but I'm maybe avoiding some, or there's some uncomfortable spaces I'd rather not go to. And so I don't think I would do any of us justice if we didn't talk about, well, how do I actually do that? How do I get better? You know, if I stopped right now, you walk out, all right, I'm going to try to love other people more. And how are you going to do that? You're going to walk up to random people and hug them or whatever? And so I want to give you kind of a two-part challenge. And for me, this first example that I want to give, you know, really was a big heart change for me to make just a few years ago. And that challenge is to pray for our enemies, pray for those that have been in that bucket of, I'd rather just not, right? And so for me, there was a person in my life that, you know, had hurt me, and I just, you know, there's a lot of history there, and I just kind of loathed them, to be honest with you. And they got sick, terribly sick. And that came to my attention. And I remember I was driving into work, and it was on the 279 to 79 split. I was right on that curve when I was doing my prayers. And they came to mind, and I just said this, God heal them, whatever. And I didn't mean it. And God convicted me so bad. Like, I really felt deep conviction about where my heart was. Like, really, this person needs prayer. They need love. They need healing. And here I am just not getting over myself. And that was a big learning moment for me. And it really kind of put me down this journey of, you know, the purpose of prayer. And does God need my prayers to do it? Or is it really a heart change that he's seeking in me? The answer is B. And I started to learn more about the purpose of prayer in my heart. And I grew through that, and it was uncomfortable, even though it was just between me and God, but it changed my heart towards that person. And so Matthew 5:44, so in this same sermon, Jesus talks about this. He says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Persecute you, all right? Just not people you just don't dislike, people who persecute you. Wow. And so have you been there? Am I the only one where, you know, people come to mind and you're just like, oh, really? Like, and just know that that's a huge step that will get you and your heart in the right place to begin to love that person or those people. If you can truly and with intention and with authenticity pray for them. Prayer is an act of love, right? Think of Jesus on the cross, y'all, was doing that for those who were persecuting him. He was praying for them. So, it's a choice for us to pray, right? So think about your prayers. Think about your prayer life, your prayer list. Do you go in those spaces outside of your circle? We have a great opportunity at True North, a prayer chain or a prayer, I don't know, it's through our website. It's a great technology, and a prayer request will come through. And by the way, if any of you have prayer requests, please go to our website and put that in there so we can be praying for you. And so a lot of times we'll get prayers for people we don't know. And to be, at least for me, that's not hard to do, right? They're not persecuting me, you know, but, you know, it's an uncomfortable challenge, isn't it, to pray for those that we'd rather just not. And so I want to challenge you with that. And then secondly, and this is a big one, and really we could spend a couple hours, and so we will. Two more hours to go. kidding. Is to forgive your enemies. Forgive them. What an act of love to actually forgive them. So if you've thought of these people, specifically those who have hurt you, and you just haven't gotten there yet, you haven't forgiven them, they don't deserve my forgiveness, or, yeah, I'll say that I forgive them, but deep in my heart, I don't. You know, you don't pray for them. You're maybe not seeking reconciliation. And I understand not every situation is the same, right? But the forgiveness part, we certainly can and need to do. Praise God that he forgave us, right? And so again, to be like Christ, to love like Christ, we got to do that. And we've got to forgive our enemies. And so further again in this sermon, Matthew 6:14-15, he says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." Okay, so that sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Forgiveness is a huge thing, right? And so, you know, what I want to do is just encourage you to think long and hard about, you know, what does your circle of love look like, right? Who have you extended your love to? And it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? We're made in the image of Christ. His love is a beautiful, beautiful gift, isn't it? You know, to feel loved by someone is so amazing. To feel loved by God, right, when he hears your prayers, when those blessings, every good and perfect thing comes from our Father, doesn't it? And so you have loved ones around you. Be thankful for that, right? It's a powerful, powerful thing, and that's what Jesus demonstrated to all of us, is his powerful love. You have a very, very strong power source within you, and that's love. It all starts there, right? We can say all we want, we can preach all we want, but if we don't show love, what good is it, right? And so think about that. Think about those people specifically, or those groups of people, those kinds of people, whatever has come to mind. Maybe some of the hands that you couldn't raise. You know, get into those uncomfortable spaces and be willing to offer your love to them, right? So short and sweet, I know, but I wanted to just leave you with that challenge, and I want to close us here in prayer in just a moment. And so will you join me in just closing out this moment in prayer? And I want to challenge you again to make a change and a heart change in this way, right? Let's pray.